Suns fans, you know what time it is in the PHX.
Empire of the Suns.
Phoenix Suns.
The Empire of the Suns podcast is brought to you by Sonic. Sonic.
Empire of the Suns.
Hello there, welcome to the Empire of the Suns podcast. My name is Kellen Olson, and I am joined by Kevin Zimmerman, live in the flesh on the court. What's up, Kev?
Hello. Only one mic here, so we're gonna wade through this like the Phoenix Suns tried to wade through their game. I don't even know. You said to me just now, we're trying to get to Sunday's podcast. I feel the same way. I think Suns fans kind of get it. I don't know what numbers there are to go over in this game. A 36-20 third quarter. Devin Booker not really getting traction still, or Kevin Durant or Bradley Beal. We can talk more about the Wolves, honestly, because I was in there, and we should, I think, talk about how good that team is too. I mean, that's part of this. Maybe we're being convinced they're more of a title contender, or maybe we're not, but yeah, I mean, the Suns are what they are. I mean, that you can tell me what you heard from post-game there.
126-109 was our final in this game, Kevin. The Phoenix Suns were doing things well. Let me know if you've heard this before. They were doing things well. The numbers that I got in the first quarter, they took 9 threes. They attempted 15 free throws. In the corresponding two quarters combined, they took 7 threes and 9 free throws. We don't know why. They don't know why. You don't know why. And if you do know why, you're just guessing, because I think we're all just guessing to try and figure out exactly what's happening here. Now, what is happening is we know that there is a disconnect in this team. We know they are a broken team. We know that they are not structurally sound in terms of just how they come together in a cohesive nature. There is a inherent, let me use that word on you, Kev, beauty to sports in that when a team comes together, camaraderie, that kind of stuff, you see it on the court. But guess what you see on the court too, Kev? You see the opposite of that, which is when the boys aren't vibing together. They aren't clicking together. There's a disconnect between this player and that coach. There's a disconnect between this player and that player. There's a disconnect between this coach and this coach. It's evident that there's a whole lot going wrong, and we have been talking about it on this podcast for months, and we're going to probably have this similar kind of point and introduction on Sunday. I'm expecting the team to get swept. We'll see what happens on Sunday. My preview coming into this game was basically that Minnesota was going to dictate the terms of the series going forward, because if they just played steady enough basketball and played well and just did okay, like if they just were level and then turned it on when they needed to, they were going to 4-0 this series. That's what they did tonight. We'll see on Sunday. Maybe they come in with that laissez-faire bullcrap energy that some teams do when they're up 3-0, Kev. The Suns get hot from three, and then I'm flying back to Minnesota for game five. We'll see. But at the end of the day, we know what this is now, and we know, like you alluded to, through three games, that Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal are all unable to rise above this sludge of a dynamic on this team and just carry the team even for a game. It seems like it is taxing work. Now, Kevin, why was Devin Booker able to do this when he was playing with Marquese Chris, Dragan Bender, and Josh Jackson, or when he was playing with Landry Shamet, Jock Landale, Campaign, and Torrey Craig? Like, why was he able to do this on teams where he was in far worse situations, where in the playoffs things were able to come together for him no matter what? He was able to, like, not get his, but was able to really play well despite the team circumstances around him and the limitations of a roster, whatever you want to put it as. Why can't he do it now? That is the most concerning part of all of this by far. Mm-hmm. It is not close. The fact that what is breaking with the team is breaking him is a huge problem. It is, this goes beyond this season. This turns into concerns for next season, the years after that, the future of this team as a whole. That's as far as I'll go before, again, Sunday or Tuesday or whenever we're going to do this, when the series is over and the Suns have been eliminated. But The point remains is that they can't stay consistent, and you asked me what the player said and what Frank said. They don't know. Doug Haller asked what I was going to ask and what I kept asking other people, which is, hey, when the mid-third quarter comes up, it's when everything goes wrong. Do you know why that's happening? Devin Booker said three words: I do not. I asked Frank Vogel about it, if he sees a correlation or if he just thinks it's a coincidental, like game flowy stuff. And he kind of gave me one of those answers, which I expected. And then I followed up and asked, so do you think it's a mental thing? And he said no. I asked Bradley Beal. He said, let me know if you heard this before. When adversity comes, they just get kind of flat. And in the grand scheme of his answer, he did not have one necessarily, where he just said, like, I don't have a great answer for you. I don't really have an answer. I know it's not what you're looking for, but we've been trying to figure out different ways to ask these guys and this coach about what has been going on with this team all year, and we can't get anywhere. We're trying, but yeah, I can't imagine how much more frustrating it is for Suns fans, because I'm frustrated, Kevin. I don't know if you can tell, and I'm frustrated because everyone on this podcast who's been listening for years knows I just want to talk about basketball. I don't really know what I'm going to write tomorrow to preview the game. I might just write two sentences. Can I do that, editor man? No, I can't. I can't just write, if the Phoenix Suns are consistent and the Minnesota Timberwolves show slippage, the Suns will return the series to Minnesota. If not, get ready for big things to happen at the start of the week Monday. That's three sentences? Can I do that? Okay, well, yeah, and that sucks because I really love the playoffs, and it was super fun to break down the stylistic matchups of this. I think even casual basketball fans to diehard basketball fans, I remember like hearing Zach Lowe talk about the series coming into it, and he was fascinated by all the different and stuff. Like, and I was in the same boat too, and you were. It just hasn't mattered because they just don't get along. I don't know how to put it, but they just don't gel at all.
If you want to talk basketball, we can talk more on what the Timberwolves have done, and a lot of this is
what they said.
Well, it's about evolution, right? It's about Rudy Gobert can't. He gets played off the court in the playoffs. Guess what? When the Suns hunted him and tried to ISO him a few times, you know what he did? Did just fine. Anthony Edwards, great player, great talent, young. What does a young guy do? Rudy Gobert postgame talked about, like, last year and early this year, like, he didn't like when people double-teamed him. Rudy said he didn't like when people double-teamed him.
Thought you were getting to the crotch drop.
No. Well, we can get into that. He does not...
Six of them.
He is not aware of...
$5,000 a pop, I think.
I don't... What did he say, Jeremy? He's not aware of the wrestling thing, but he just started doing it.
He's not a 90s wrestling fan.
He's like, what are you asking? Oh, that. Yeah. He addressed that. That's probably going viral right now. But Rudy basically said, like, Ant didn't like being double teamed, and then he realized, you know what, I gotta embrace it, I gotta learn from it. And I literally wrote a line that you kind of alluded to, like,
he has to adjust and
Devin,
execute those adjustments.
Devin Booker, I remember, in I think it was 2018-19, team started doubling him because he was on a bad team, started adjusting to it, learning. You're seeing the same thing with Ant. He's 22 now, but it's weird because it's happening on a 56-win team, not a 19-win team. They're up 3-0 on a team that has a lot of playoff experience, at least in terms of the key players and the rotation guys. And, like, the Timberwolves, even if you go down to their franchise, like, the questions they're all getting are, like, this team hasn't been good. Like, this looks like a legit team. And so we can talk about whether this team's legit maybe on Sunday more, but the point is here that Ant Edwards literally saw heavy blitzing. The Suns came out really aggressive on him, passed out of it. Timberwolves were getting a lot in the paint. They were missing some, I think they were missing some corner threes. They weren't even making the pass, and they were also missing threes. Nikhil Alexander Walker went 0-4. And then what happens in the third quarter? But you know what? One, shots just start going down, which the Suns can keep saying they're missing shots. But guess what? The Timberwolves were getting really good shots, and they were finding the holes that were kind of there, seeping, and then they're just like, make a couple tweaks. Bam. You go up. The Suns are doing the same things, and then the Suns like you said, get flat. And that's really what it is. And then the effort levels go, running back on defense doesn't happen, yada, yada, yada. We've talked about that too much. So, yeah, I mean, it's just about adjusting, taking a punch. And Chris Finch kind of phrased it as, we take a punch. We knew they were going to give a punch. The punch was 15 first quarter free throws, foul trouble for three of the starters. The Suns did not do anything with that, by the way. And the Timberwolves hang in there. Actually, we're leading by what, like 9-10, even early in the first quarter. And then eventually throw the haymaker in the third. So there's schematic stuff involved, but the real big question is, why does it just fall off a cliff when things look good? You find answers a little bit, and then you just go away from it. And that's what I don't understand about this team, and we're going to be done talking about it soon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
The thing about adjustments, Kev, people hear that word, and they think adjustments might be the worst basketball word that exists in our everyday
overuse.
Discussions. It just might be the worst and overused. Like, I think it's both. Because people hear that. They hear you say adjust. Not people. I'm sorry. That's rude. Suns fans hear you say that and they think, like, yeah, Frank Vogel can't do that. Fire Frank Vogel. This sucks. And it's like, they did adjust. They have made adjustments for every game so far. Have they been the right adjustments? That's another conversation for another day. But a line that I used in the story, I tried my best to put it together, but basically it was way 6,437 that I described the Suns and how they aren't connected. And I said, when a basketball team is not doing that, what's going to happen is you are going to have basketball warts whack-a-mole, where, oh, we only turned it over 10 times. Oh my God, 19 second chance points. Like, it's just gonna, they're just gonna keep popping up in different ways. And it doesn't really matter which ones you eliminate because more are gonna come up. Like, it just goes on. And to that point, that is because you are not able to nail down the process of having your adjustments on the fly going. Like you point out during the game, and I linked back to my story because that's what the hook of the Game 3 preview was. Minnesota's adjusting on the fly, and they're executing them at a high degree, which is what every team in the playoffs is capable of doing, pretty much, except the Suns. And that is, the huge difference in this game. I couldn't stop going through the game thinking of not giving credit to Minnesota, and what I mean by that is it just feels like if they were playing any team right now that was capable of adjusting and executing together, like, simultaneously as a unit, they were going to get swept no matter what or no matter who it was. And that, to me, trumps just everything else that we've kind of been talking about, and why I just wanted to bring that up when you said adjustments. There was a weird part of this game in, like, the second quarter where I was like, this is a lot of Mike Conley. Like, there's a lot of Mike Conley going on right now. And it was mixed bag. Ant was getting doubled off the ball. And then Ant just came out in the second half and just started, even in like the late first half, he started hitting the swing pass to the weak side corner. It's like, oh no, he can do that. I know he can do that, but I was like, oh, if he's going to keep doing that, they're cooked. And I think he's at, he was 8 assists in game 2, 5 assists in game 1. But I said, can he average like 5 to 6 assists per game in the series? And obviously he can do that. He has proven now that he is very capable of doing that. Karl Anthony Towns was awesome in this game when he wasn't being classic Karl Anthony Towns in the playoffs. Royce O'Neal started this game. Grayson Allen did not play. Sat out with his ankle sprain. And Kat just drove through everyone. And then he got fouls and sat. And then he drove through everyone. And then he got fouls and sat. And then he drove through everyone. He was great. This was the first time in the three games where both Naz Reid and Nickeil Alexander-Walker both played well. Nickeil Alexander-Walker had a quiet night offensively, and then he's hitting dagger corner three after dagger corner three. Naz Reid played some important minutes in the first half where Minnesota almost exclusively plays with either Towns as the five or Gobert as the five, but both those guys were in foul trouble, and like you said, Minnesota won the first quarter, and they had Conley, Towns, and Gobert all on the bench with two fouls with 4 minutes to go. And the Suns couldn't close out that quarter ahead, which was an ominous sign, but I found myself going like, well, they're doing stuff right still, and if they just stick to it, like, I was just setting the bar so low. I was like, it's fine that they didn't win the quarter when they took 15 free throws. Like, they're going to be fine. I was trying to get there, and I just couldn't do it. Couldn't quite get there. Numbers to rattle off. There aren't really any to rattle off, honestly, because Ant went nuts in the fourth quarter, which was – it wasn't a weird fourth quarter. Everyone knows what that looks like when a team's up 20 in, like, a big game, and all of a sudden the lead's cut down to, like, 11 or 9, and they're like, oh, okay, this – and you're – that team that's trying to make up for it is, like, one run away from making things kind of weird, especially if they're at home. The Suns could never make that run because Ant just kept scoring and getting to the foul line. Booker, Drain, and Beal all got their numbers up in that third quarter. I think it was 36 points in total for the Suns in the fourth. And all of them, like, I think they combined for like 70 or 75 or 80. But a lot of that came in the fourth quarter. And that wasn't even the problem, really. Anyway. Oh, yeah, they played without a center. And threes were going up, and they played with pace. Any thoughts on that?
You mentioned the free throws fell off in the second and third quarter. The three-pointers fell off. I believe it was two threes taken in the second and four in the third, if I'm not mistaken. They took nine and made four, and Eric Gordon had a great first quarter, scored 10 points, but then that just fell off a cliff. So basically, second and third quarter, they stopped getting to the line and stopped taking threes and were missing lots of shots in the paint. They were shooting like sub 50%, and they finished, I believe, at 50% in the paint, which is not good, by the way. Rudy, again, credit him for scaring them, really. But yeah, the fourth, I don't know if you make anything out of it, but you'd gotta get desperate and
no.
Jack some threes, man. And that's the problem with this team. Like, you talked about the whack-a-mole thing. Like, they find answers here, they forget to do things there, and every game it's different. And what does that mean? They do not have an identity. They do not have a thing they're good at. They do not say, hey, we're just going to get killed on the board against this team specifically. We might as well try to shoot the crap out of it and space them out and get them out of whack. They don't have a strategy to bother a team when they're doing different things by quarter.
You know, my favorite game is when I say something and I promise everyone it's not a mutually exclusive thing, and it's okay if I say two things and they don't mean one thing or the other.
Yeah.
You ready to play that game?
Uh-oh. Sure.
Kevin Durant got it rolling. Mm-hmm. He got cooking. Guess what you should do when Kevin Durant hits two shots in a row? You should keep giving him the basketball. Feed him that rock. That was in the second quarter. He kept feeding him the rock, and then he missed a couple. And then when he was out of his he wasn't no longer knocking down shots, the Suns were not able to just go, oh, well, let's just go back to the thing that was working. It's like they are incapable of that to an embarrassing extent. So I'm not sitting here saying they should have never kept – you shouldn't stop feeding Kevin Durant that situation. You should keep giving him the ball. But the fact that the team can't benefit – fully from Kevin Durant, because it's either he's just going to keep hitting shots or he's not going to hit shots, and then your offense is going to crater because it can't recover from the pace change. And it's like, if you have a basketball team with Kevin Durant, you need to be able to play really slow. I think that's one of the first things we talked about when the trade happened. It's like, you're going to have games where you play really slow because Kevin Durant's cooking and you're isolating, and you need to just give him the ball and let him get to work. And that's what happened in the second quarter, and then they just couldn't find that pace again. So it's detrimental to them when they try and it is detrimental to them when they try and benefit from arguably their biggest strength as a team, which is having the greatest scorer of all time on a heater. It hurts them sometimes, and it's baffling to me. And I was just watching it, and I was like, there was part of my brain wasn't saying don't pass him the ball or don't get him the ball in those spots, but the part of my brain was like, oh man, they're not going to be able to snap back in to place after this. And it was just it's so brutal to watch happen in real time, because we all know, but like I you see it coming.
there was one play where he had, like you said, kind of fallen off, but they were like, okay, high ISO post touch. Cat was not fronting him, but like had good arm denial because he has really long arms. There was no entry pass. And I don't remember even who it was, but they just stared at him and just stared for like dribbled, stared 3 seconds. Like, you either throw the dang ball over his head and see if you can get it, probably will turn it over, or what you should really do is do something else. And they just don't. Everything takes 2 clicks too slow. Then they realize, oh, I should probably do something else. And they don't have anything else to do. And it's not just bad reaction recognition. It's that they don't have anything else to do. And that's the biggest thing with this team. They don't have counters. Go run something simple on the other side. I don't know. But when things go bad, they just stare at it. And that's kind of why these things pile up on them, I think.
Ready for my elimination game gambit? Mm-hmm. Sit Nurkic, start the game small.
Wow.
That's what I'm going to write about tomorrow. Because I don't know what else, man. I don't know what else. I don't know what else they should try. We're out of answers. We're out of questions. We're out of theories. We're out of hypotheses. We're out of time. We're out of a lot of things. But that's my gambit. They need to clear the court right now. So, and anything else you got to say before you go? Are you going to hit the zoo tomorrow with the kid? What's up?
What am I doing tomorrow? I'm going to sleep in. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try. Going to be hard.
Stay strong, everyone. I'm thinking of you in this time. I'm doing the sign off now. Signing off. Goodbye.